I want to take you back to January of 2008. It seems to me that 2008 is one of the more interesting years of recent times. In January of that year, I received a copy of a book in the mail, the book title simply The Word Awake. And then there was a little subtitle that read something like, A Few Months Are Left Before the Sunday Law. A very short book, and it told the story of a deacon in Arizona, Adventist gentleman, highly respected in his church family, who one Friday afternoon was preparing for the Sabbath. He was doing house cleaning, and he was pondering and even in his heart kind of praying about the judgment, the end of the world, and the timing of end time events, and he believed that the Lord spoke to him. He received some kind of a message. And in this message was a time calculation. Now, this experience with this gentleman happened in 2006. And the reason I got the book in January of 2008 was because only several months away, April of 2008, was the time specified from this message this man had received that the National Sunday Law would be passed in America. And so there was a lot of interest generated, so much so that people gathered some funds together, as I understand, to have this book published and shared abroad among Seventh-day Adventists. And there was a little note inside asking that I would take a look at the book and respond to this person and tell them what I thought about this book. Well, I was very reticent to do that. In fact, my thought was, ask me on May 1. Because I kind of felt like it was a no-win situation. It seemed to me that it was possible that the National Sunday Law could be passed in those few months, but it didn't seem probable to me. But I felt that to even express that would be to run the risk of sounding cavalier, that I didn't believe that these kinds of things are imminent. And that's not the case, because I do believe that we're living in an urgent time. And, of course, to jump on the bandwagon and embrace this prediction of this time would be very risky, because should it not come to pass, then there's a whole credibility issue. And I couldn't see anything in this message that was somehow fastened to inspiration to convince me that, in fact, I should believe this. Well, now we can look back, and it's easy for us to look back and say, obviously, the National Sunday Law was not passed in April of 2008. But then in the summer of 2008, it seems that the emails started to fly, particularly among Seventh-day Adventists. And there were some big predictions about the fall of 2008, no pun intended, but the economic fall that would come in the fall. And I remember distinctly during the summer receiving an email which indicated that if, in fact, there would be an economic collapse in the fall, that that would require that the National Sunday Law would have to be passed before that. Because we've read that national apostasy will be followed by national ruin. And so this email suggested that the National Sunday Law now must be passed before the fall, when the economy would suffer a real collapse. Well, we know the economic collapse did hit in the fall, but the National Sunday Law was not passed. Well, then it seemed that the email frenzy really picked up. And this is now just, about a year ago. And I don't know if any of you received some of these emails that I did. But the frenzy increased as we moved through September. And I remember, because I was in Alabama doing some meetings there, when I received an email about a prediction supposedly coming from inside sources, people with security clearance and inside information, that there would be a major catastrophic event in this country which would trigger martial law and the suspension of the Constitution, and there would be no election. Did any of you receive these email predictions? Originally, they thought this might happen sometime in October, and the dates started to move up as supposedly valuable information was coming in from people who were in the know. Finally, while I was in Alabama at the end of September, the message came through that this would happen by September 30. Well, I wasn't scheduled to fly home until after that. So you can imagine, I mean, I read the email and I thought more than twice about it. What happens if I can't get home? But where I was doing meetings even, there was an increasing pitch of anxiety among Seventh-day Adventists, wanting to know what to do with their money as they saw things happening in the banks, and sort of a frantic pace of trying to quickly make preparations for this collapse that they saw happening and coming in the future. Well, now, of course, we can look back and recognize that those particular things didn't happen. And I want to insert something here because it is important to say that there may very well be those who have agendas to do these very things that we read about in these emails. But there's other factors at play, right? We call this the great controversy. And undoubtedly, there could be a huge impact from the prayers of God's people, from an interception from God that no one anticipated out there in the world. And there are also forces out in the world who make no profession of Christianity who are very upset about some of the trends they see happening in the world. You're aware of that. And they are working to try to intercept these things as well. So I only say that because I want to emphasize the fact that we are living in urgent times. And many of the things that were in emails that we read about are plausible scenarios. But, you know, after the fall, after the election, I thought, well, maybe things will sort of quiet down. Because I was concerned by the fact that Seventh-day Adventists were, in many of them, sort of bouncing off the walls with all these things that were coming in the email. And the reason that concerned me is because, you know, for decades we've called ourselves people of the book. And the scripture we just read this morning, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And when we get caught in this kind of hype and these things, we spread them around and then they don't happen, it hurts our credibility. I think that it has a real impact on our young people. The reason I say that is because when I was a teenager, I remember a preacher coming to town who said that he personally knew someone at the Pentagon, and they told him that in 6 months from that time, the economy was going to collapse. Now, what's strange to me is I didn't even care about the economy when I was a teenager. And there's a whole lot of things I heard in church that I don't remember, but I remembered that. And 6 months came and went. And I also distinctly remember the same man coming later with a new prediction. I don't remember an apology. I don't remember anything along the lines of, well, you know, we're sorry. We said that before and it didn't happen. You know, all I remember was a new one. And I really believe this hurts us. And it's unnecessary if, in fact, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And what happened out of the fall of 2008 was it gave me some motivation to go back and look at what we have been told that is going to happen. Because it seemed to me, if we have enough waypoints, if we have enough pegs along the way, we should be able to take information as it comes in and plug it into what inspiration has told us, and that should help us to filter some of the things that are coming to us. I'm not suggesting that we stick our head in the sand and not pay attention to what's going on in the world, but we need some kind of a framework to help us so that we won't get caught in what happened for many Seventh-day Adventists last fall. And, you know, as I mentioned, I thought, well, maybe this will settle down. But it was only several weeks, in fact, it was in August, I think, at the end of August. We were visiting some place to go to church, and someone approached the car. We could hardly get our window down as they said, "You've heard what's going to happen in September." And I said, "No." And he said, "There are going to be roadblocks all over America where they will be administering the swine flu vaccine, and every home in America will be searched and guns will be seized." And inside, you know, I just kind of groaned. Again, well, when you talk about roadblocks and vaccinations, I understand that there are some movements afoot to mandate vaccinations. But we should just think about the mechanics involved of having nurses stationed at all these roadblocks, all these vaccinations, but September has come and gone, and so another sting or another chuckle by those who don't believe. So what I'm going to share with you is a work in progress, and I want to invite you to share with me your perspective, because you might see something we're going to put on the screen here today that you don't agree with, you think it's different, and I hope that you'll share that with me. But what I've tried to lay out is not a time chart, but a sequence of events that should be helpful. I'm finding that it's helpful for me in filtering rumors and filtering things that come along either by the internet or whatever other source as to whether or not these things are reliable.